The first reading this evening is taken from the book of Isaiah, beginning at the start of chapter 60, on page 746 of the Bibles in the church. Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swirl with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold, to the honour of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
John chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and page 1064. John chapter 2. Jesus changes water to wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Just a verse from that reading of the marriage at Cana of Galilee. Jesus thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Rosemary and I always struggle a little bit as to when the Christmas decorations should be taken down. I think if it were up to her, she would probably choose when we were washing up on Christmas Day in the evening. But we managed it until the 11th night this year, a couple of days ago. So I think that was a pretty good record. Wendy mentioned last week at the morning service, we box all those Christmas decorations up and put them away somewhere and forget about them until maybe the beginning or just after the beginning of December this year. Do we do the same with Jesus? We've had wonderful congregations in our churches, as many churches will have done this last couple of weeks. And yet people go away and, well, Jesus, that he's there. We might think about him next year. We forget about Jesus. Do we do the same after Christmas? So we're looking today at this miracle which the Bible refers to as changing the water into wine in the second chapter of John's Gospel. I think it was page 1064. So John mentions seven miracles, which are sometimes called signs. Jesus himself called them works of God. He's very concerned to see beyond the miracle to their significance in our lives. John was by no way putting Jesus in a box. John was going to write his gospel and send it out to both the Jewish people and the Greek-speaking people. He wanted everybody to know about Jesus and what Jesus could do. So these are special signs, special miracles, special works of God, which reveal the glory of Jesus to those who believe and which confront others with the need to decide about Jesus. Later on in this same gospel in chapter 8, the Pharisees ask, "Who are you?" They didn't know. If we look very briefly at the steps in this lovely story of changing the water into wine in Cana, I looked on the map, I didn't know exactly where it was. I thought it was on the shores of Galilee, but it is in fact between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean. So the marriage would be a very important event. It would be costly, as a marriage nowadays would be costly. It would usually start on Wednesday. It would probably last for about 7 days. And there would be a procession of the bride and groom around the town. And people would drink and eat, and they would pop into the wedding and out of the wedding and come back again, and they would really enjoy themselves for this period of time. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, comes to Jesus and said, "They've run out of wine." It's quite possible that she was helping the master of the ceremonies, the master of the catering, the chef de cuisine, perhaps helping him or her, whoever it was, to make sure that everybody had enough wine. But the wine had run out. And she says these lovely words to Jesus. They have no more wine. A statement. And of course, Jesus comes back and says, "Dear woman." And I've looked at various examples of this in different Bibles. The Good News Bible doesn't mention those two words at all. The contemporary English version of the Bible says, "Dear mother." But it seems that to use the expression "dear woman" is not at all harsh as we would expect it to be harsh. It would have been used quite frequently in Palestine. Well, we know what happened. Jesus told the servants to fill the 6 stone jars, which would have been more or less filled with water for purification purposes, purification of hands before eating. And these were taken, or a sample was taken, to presumably the master of ceremonies, the chef de cuisine. Here we have it. It's marvelous wine. Appellation contrôlée, denomination originée, premier cru. Wonderful wine. When usually the wine towards the end of the marriage, well, you know, we use the Van der Table next. And so they had sufficient wine. I worked out that if there were, I think the scriptures say, 20 to 30 gallons of wine in each jar. Well, let's say 25 gallons at about 4.5 litres per gallon. That would give something like 900 odd bottles of 3/4 of a litre of wine. With a lot of wine, even if it was going to last for a week, even if there were quite a lot of people at the marriage. That was marvellous. Only the best. So we said that John was writing to the Jews and to the Greeks. The Jews would have known about wine. There are several books of the Old Testament where these glorious things of God, wine and honey and milk, are given. And even the Greeks had a god of wine, Dionysius. I think that's how you pronounce it. And of course, John was wanting to get this message over to the people who were going to read his gospel. So there were 6 stone wine jars. And at Jesus' command, the waters in them had turned to wine. According to the Jews, the number 7 is a number which is absolute and complete and perfect. 6 is the number which is incomplete and unfinished and imperfect. The 6 jars stand for the imperfection of the law, with all of the things which people were asked to do. Jesus had come to do away with all those things that had to be done and to put in their new place the new wine of the gospel of his grace. Perhaps we can see what John is telling us. Not just about things which Jesus did in Cana in Galilee, but what he's actually doing today. Without Jesus, life is stale and dull and flat. I do pray that we are here because of Jesus in this ancient church where Jesus has been worshipped for many hundreds of years. When Jesus comes into our lives become vivid and sparkling and clear and exciting. Sir Wilfrid Grenfell, we've heard that name recently, haven't we, was a medical missionary. He trained in London in the late 1800s and died in 1940. That gives an idea of when he was working. And most of his work was done in coastal fishing villages in Labrador and Newfoundland. And he asked for volunteers to go and work with him. He said, "I can't offer you very much money, but I can offer you a lot of fun with Jesus." And those volunteers worked for that man. We've all been very concerned about that awful fire at Grenfell Towers, haven't we? The people who were involved have been incredibly grateful for the support which the Christian churches locally, one or two of them, almost within the shadow of the tower, which people there have done and have done unstintingly, not just on the day or two of during and after the fire, but ever since, with the Bishop of Kensington, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, all kinds of Christian folk and other folk too have been able to do wonderful things for God. There is a new feeling about the church and about Jesus in that place. There's a lot of anger because people feel, well, we've not been housed properly, and that's very difficult, and we need to continue praying about that. So Jesus does things for us. Jesus enables us to be vivid and clear and fresh. And I think sometimes when we don't see Jesus, we become lost. Let's ensure that we don't keep Jesus out of our lives. I'd just like to read a little poem which I found by William Cowper, who lived from 1731 to 1800. I think you'll probably know it, but it struck me as being very much tied up with this story. And we have that wonderful reading from that 60th chapter of Isaiah, "Arise, shine, your light has come." Wonderful words, 600 years before Jesus was around. This is William Cowper's poem, just a short one. Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again a season of clear shining to cheer it after rain. In holy contemplation, we sweetly then pursue the theme of God's salvation and find it ever new. That lovely man, David Watson, who died prematurely many years ago, wrote a book, I Believe in the Church. I've mentioned this before, and I don't make apologies for mentioning it again. The subtitle of this book is The Revolutionary Potential of the People of God. We have that. I believe that those Christians working at Grenfell Tower have that potential, and they've used that potential over the last 6 months. Let's go out knowing that we have that potential in our lives too, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Amen. Just have a moment's silence.